Tom Savini did the special effects makeup for George Romero's zombie films Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead. Savini didn't work on Romero's 1968 classic Night of the Living Dead, which was just reissued, but Savini directed a 1990 remake with Romero serving as co-writer and executive producer. Savini also did special effects makeup for Friday the 13th, Maniac, and Creepshow. Gore is his specialty. Dawn of the Dead, the first sequel to Night of the Living Dead, was set in a shopping mall, the place the Walking Dead instinctively return to after they rise from their graves. The scenes of zombies feasting on human flesh are far more graphic in the sequel than in the original. In 1990, I asked Savini if that was his intention.
When I first saw Night of the Living Dead, you know, as an effects guy, I thought that the zombies, the makeups, the effects could have been a lot more sophisticated, more state-of-the-art. What George did was I think George was actually doing the effects on the film. He was using chocolate syrup for blood and mortician's wax for makeups and having to do everything, you know, that I think that suffered. So, in Dawn of the Dead, clearly here's an opportunity, and it was a color film, to do something... I guess we went overboard, more graphic because of how primitive I thought the first film was. I mean, we would sit around thinking about, you know, how to kill people. I mean, that was our daily, you know, our exercise. And we would go to George and say, how about if we took a screwdriver and drove it in a guy's ear? And he would say, okay, you know, and we would just go do it a couple hours later. So it was like Halloween for 3 months, you know, and it was like anything we wanted to do, George would let us do. And I think because it was released unrated, everything stayed in.
Oh, rather than take the X, you released it unrated so you could get
That's
as graphic
did, yeah.
as you wanted to. I'd like to hear more about the makeup that you used for it. It's a movie with a lot of blood. What do you like to use for blood? What's the most realistic-looking blood?
Well, I'm embarrassed about the blood in Dawn of the Dead. It looked like melted crayons. It was terrible. It was a 3M company used to make a blood called 3M Blood. You know, sometimes it looked good. Most of the time, though, like I said, it looked like melted crayons. The best blood is Dick Smith's formula. Dick Smith is the god of makeup artists, the godfather, the sentinel, midnight cowboy, taxi driver. You know, it goes on and on and on. His formula is basically Cairo corn syrup, red and yellow food coloring, a preservative, and a wedding agent. His is the blood used throughout. Every makeup artist uses his formula.
So you use his formula most of the time now?
Yeah, but not in Dawn of the Dead. Right after that, Friday the 13th, all the other films after that, I used Dick Smith's formula.
What kind of special makeup or casting or whatever did you use when people were eating other people's limbs?
Well, most of that was sausage and bologna and chicken with some kind of a blood-colored barbecue sauce, you know. Or anything that they might have at craft services that day we would throw in, you know, have them chewing on it.
Tom Savini is my guest, and he's been called, what, King of Splatter, King of Gore? Is
that let's see. Let's get it straight. God of Gore, King of Splatter, Splatter King, Wizard of Gore, Demented Sick, you know.
And so on.
Take your pick.
No, you've directed the updating of Night of the Living Dead. You weren't around when the original was made. You were actually... in Vietnam. If I have the story straight, you had met George Romero right before the movie, but you had already enlisted and...
Right, I enlisted in the Army on the hold program, which means they have 140 days. You can be called in within 140 days. So I met George Romero. We talked about doing the film. I showed him my portfolio, and he was all, you know, I would have worked on the film. But they called me in, and I was in the Army and in Vietnam when he really filmed it.
So you were a combat photographer in Vietnam?
Uh-huh.
So that means that you were seeing the real thing, I mean,
in
terms of gore and violence. And what was your visceral reaction to having to photograph the wounded?
Well, it was a visceral reaction. I think everybody who I came in contact with over there who was experiencing that, most of us were able to turn off our emotions. It became necessary to turn off the emotions. Those that didn't... we're in big trouble, emotionally, mentally. It's not something that's easy to do. I think your body, you know, if you're in an accident, your body, you go into shock and your body takes over and tries to protect you. I think your mind does the same thing in that situation. My mind took over, turned off my emotions, and I was able to look through the camera. Looking through the camera lens was also a help because through the lens, I could pretend and see it as special effects.
What kind of photographs were you called on to take when you were in Vietnam?
Well, I wasn't on the front lines, but if something happened, my job was to go in after a battle or a fracas and photograph damage to equipment and people.
I'm wondering what it was like for you to do movie versions of this after having seen real pain, after having seen the real suffering of it, and especially to do it in some of the movies that were, either more exploitative or more campy in their approach to it.
Well, it's interesting. I don't think I've ever gone in depth about talking about this sort of thing. But as you were saying that, I was thinking, okay, when I was there, I had to turn off my emotions. And when I got home, my emotions stayed turned off. It's not something that clicks back on so easily. It's almost like in Deer Hunter. Suddenly they're at the wedding and zoom, the very next frame, they're in Vietnam and they're in the middle of a fracas. And that's what it seemed like. I mean, I got on the plane, I went there, but suddenly, boom, my mind was there immediately. And then when I came home, it's the same thing. Boom, it was almost like I didn't remember getting there or I remember coming home. And my first marriage suffered, and I was divorced because of my Vietnam experience, I think, because I was emotionless when I came back. Suddenly, I think about a year later, I saw a sunset, and that marked, to me, the beginning of feeling something again.
Have you ever felt that you were not being true to the real suffering that you saw by recreating the suffering for movies?
Not being true to the real suffering? Well, if it was a Vietnam picture, then I would have some input. I think I would have to say if I thought something wasn't being filmed correctly, something that show what the way it really happened or what really went on. But in these horror fantasy films, it's just a roller coaster ride, and it never really got that serious. Most people saw it for what it was, fantasies and adventures. The films that dealt with films like Maniac or films that I'm actually afraid to watch, like Henry, the Portrait of a Serial Killer, things that deal with creeps who really exist out there, that's things that I don't want to see that stuff, I want to go to a movie to escape, not to be reminded about the 6 o'clock news.
You must have been pretty wacky as a kid, when you started doing this, when you were still in your early teens, running around shopping for blood and pulling a lot of stunts, I'd imagine, in school and maybe in your family.
Well, obviously when you do this sort of thing, the outlet for practical jokes increases,
by leaps and bounds.
And I was wacky as a kid. After I first saw that movie, Man of a Thousand Faces, I mean, I was shining shoes in my neighborhood to get money to buy makeup supplies. I lived and breathed makeup. I was reading everything I could about how they would. I asked my cousin one day, I said, how do they put the hair onto werewolves when they do that in a movie? And he said, spirit gum. Most people know what spirit gum is. It's a stage adhesive. I thought he said spearmint gum, okay? I'm 12 years old. So if you can imagine me chewing spearmint gum and trying, and this can't be right, So I was trying to learn how to do this stuff. And I would make up friends of mine, with scars and burns and wounds. And, a lot of times I would never be invited back to their homes, their parents. No, I don't want that Savini kid around. He's crazy,
Right, right. Can you explain how you create scars and wounds?
Ever since the silent movies, there's a chemical called collodion. It's a non-flexible plastic substance that you brush on. It's a liquid, and what it does is it attaches itself to your skin and then contracts. So if you remember Tom Berenger in Platoon, mm-hmm. or Donald Pleasence in the James Bond film where he played Dr. Blofeld, that deeply recessed impression of the skin is collodion. And if it's wounds and things, then, you make a cast of the person's arm or face, wherever the wound is going to appear, and you actually sculpt, anatomically correct wounds and duplicate them in foam latex rubber, glue those on to the person's face or, arm, whatever it is, color them, the way they should be, paint them the way they should be, add the KY lubricating jelly for the sheen and the blood, and that's basically how to do it, but it actually depends on what the script calls for.
You really have to know a lot of techniques, both of art and medicine, probably. For instance, like when you're doing fangs, you have to cast somebody's teeth as if you were a dentist.
A special makeup technician today who was worth anything is a sculptor, a painter, a mold maker, has to know something about mechanics. He has to be a dental technician, a chemist, for all the formulas for chemicals and for appliances and for rubber bladders. You know, you have to be somewhat of a psychologist because you're dealing with these actors all the time. I think you need to be a photographer for a sense of composition. A sketch artist. It's so much. I get letters from people, kids, who are maybe 14 or 15, on stationery that says, Joe Blow, special makeup effects artist, and his stuff is very crude. He obviously knows nothing about the stuff. But I hang on to those photos because, you know, years later, I've hired people who started out that way and who have become really wonderful sculptors and makeup artists and mold makers. And most people who want to get into the business, I think they know from what they read that they have to know all that stuff.
Did you ever look at yourself in the mirror with one of your get-ups on and scare yourself?
No, I mainly get scared looking at myself when there's nothing on my face. Just my face, you know.
Tom Savini recorded in 1990. He did the special effects makeup for the George Romero zombie films Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead and directed the remake of Night of the Living Dead. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.